Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Toncast. I'm very special guest Todd Robert Anderson. I'm hostless again this week, which is just fine with me because, you know, quite frankly, a lot of these hosts tend to be difficult. So it's nice to be by myself, completely alone here to continue the series of Toncasts in which I talk about musicians, independent, mostly musicians, who have greatly affected me on a poll through their great music and in all cases in being amazing individuals as well. And this one, this particular episode in this series is very special because I am going to talk about the man, the legend, who created the theme song for this very podcast, as well as the theme song and segment music for the Film Pigs podcast, which is my other podcast, which you could also listen to. And more people listen to Film Pigs than do this. But all that music, except for that one rap song we use, is Adam Blouse. And I'm going to talk about Adam Blau. I love this guy. He's a friend, of course, and we see each other, and he's super supportive of me and my work and my ideas, and we've collaborated in a lot of projects he's worked on so many of the things that I've done. As I mentioned, the podcasts. I also have talked about movie Fuzz Track City that I star in, and he was the composer on that film. He's done a lot of work with my friends on their web series, like Frank Stokes, and he's worked with Steve Falk, one of the pigs, on projects of his. He actually hosted this podcast, a ways back when I first started. The sound quality is terrible because I didn't know what I was doing, but it was still a pretty amusing podcast about spirituality. It's kind of exciting. I get to talk about him this time, whereas last time, you know, this podcast is usually all about me, but these musical episodes, I get to make them about other people. And there's something nice about that. Even though really ultimately, you know, I'm sure most people are most interested in me because I'm fantastic. But let's take some time to talk about Adam. I'll tell you about, let's talk about the theme song of this show. And here's the great thing about Adam Blau. He's uber talented, and he's a composer. The musicians I've talked about thus far on the Toncast have been singer-songwriters, people who sing and write songs, as well as sing other people's songs. But Adam is not a singer-songwriter. Adam is a composer, and he makes his living creating music for television and film. And he sent me a copious amount of notes because I asked him to send me his favorite tunes that he's created for TV and movies. Because, you don't, you know, he doesn't have a CD of greatest hits out that I could just pick up. So I had to ask him for MP3s to plug into this podcast to sample his music. While he gets paid for a lot of his compositions, he doesn't get paid for, and he never phones it in. For example, when I asked him if he could do a theme for this podcast, he said very quickly, he said, sure. And to me, that speaks volumes about his character. He is, a great collaborator. He's a great artist on his own, but he's super generous with his talent when it comes to his friends and their creativity. And I don't think you can ask for a better friend than that. Most people, you know, when you ask them for help, don't have the time or the interest, especially here in Los Angeles, because in Los Angeles, everybody is working on their own programs and they don't really have time for your program. And here's a guy who is constantly busy composing music for different projects, and he takes the time out to do my theme song. And I asked him, I said, basically what I want it to sound like is a bombastic morning radio show. And the first one he sent me, I was like, this is perfect. We don't need to do that again. But at the same time, he was like, if this doesn't work or if you want something else, let me know. And, you know, the fact that he would take notes from me while composing a song for free. And, you know, composing songs is not in my wheelhouse at all. I can't. I have no musical capability whatsoever. I don't. I'm a music fan. I've said this before. I can't do it. So what he does is beyond me. So I don't know. I guess that makes me appreciate it that much more than maybe someone who knows what he's doing. I don't know. Maybe not. But in any event, he's a great musician, and he did the theme song, and I think it's hysterical and wonderful and perfect. So that kind of gives you an idea of what a great guy is. I'm not suggesting you call him and ask him to do this stuff, because if everybody's calling Adam and asking him to do these things for free, then he's going to get a reputation as a pushover and he'll stop doing shit for me. And really, again, it all comes back to me and the importance of me and my projects, which I put almost no thought into. In fact, I would say that more thought and care went into the creating of the theme song of this show than has gotten into even a single episode of the show. I really have half-assed this thing, and I apologize. It's almost the end of 2012, so if the world doesn't end in 2013, I promise I'm going to really, really step it up. Really step it up, okay? I'm not going to step it up. I'm not. Anyway, Adam. So he sent me all this music. It's great. So you've obviously already heard one song, which is the theme song to this. But he sent me all this music, and I've been listening to it on my iPod for the last hour or so, over and over. He is a fun musician, and he calls from a lot of different sources for inspiration. And it's fun music. Some of it's sad. I'll play you the sad stuff, too. But he sent me this massive amount of notes about the stuff and where it was, you know, and how he did it and why. So I thought I'd just to keep it simple in my mind, I'm just going to play you each track as he has handed them to me. And then at the end, I have a track that he didn't give me that I already had, where he and Steve Hicks, the creator and director of the movie Fuzz Track City, were trying to hash out what the, because the whole movie revolves around one rock song, so they were trying to create it, and I have an early crack at it from him, so I'll play that at the end. With this, and this kills me, actually. This is my buddy Frank Stokes, who's also hosted this podcast, did a YouTube video. And if you go on YouTube and look up Francis Stokes, it'll take you to his channel, and you can scroll down a little bit, and you'll find this parody video of an 80s sitcom. It's pretty hilarious, and he got Adam to create this song for it, to make it sound like, think of like a Three's Company kind of vibe. It might have been more 70s than 80s, although, you know, I don't know Three's Company was 70s and 80s, right? Or was it just 80s? I don't know. I don't care. Look it up. It's not important. The important thing here is that this song is a hilarious tribute to the theme songs of the sitcoms of the early 80s. All right? So don't give me shit about my facts. All right? I'm just talking here. I don't have time to prepare. God. Anyway, so the name of the song is When the World Stands in Your Way. And as I said, it's, you know, an homage to those cheesy sounding. I mean, you remember the Three's Company singing, come and knock on a door. All those kind of songs are the Golden Girls song, you know, which was actually a yacht rock song from the 70s that was repurposed. This is that. So here's When the World Stands in Your Way.
When the time of your life becomes the weight of the world, and you haven't got time for sleeping. When a song in the night becomes a shot in the dark, and it's pushing you off the deep end. Lift your head and look around, and wipe away your tears. Pull yourself up off the ground, we'll make it through the years. Oh, when the world stands in your way, when the road gets hard to see, when you don't know what to say, you can tell it all to me. Ain't it nice to know there's someone who doesn't need a guarantee? When the world stands in your way, you got me.
Marvelous, marvelous tribute to those kind of songs. I mean, it kind of, it sounds like a genuine article and not a parody. That's what's kind of amazing about it. It's great. If you don't like it, fuck you. No. I mean, it's cool. You can have your subjective opinions, even if they're wrong. So in the same wheelhouse, and I had never heard this song before he sent it to me, because I did not see the Robin Williams movie License to Wed. In fact, until Adam sent me the MP3 and the notes explaining what it was, I completely forgot there was such a thing. I don't go to Robin Williams movies, not since the 80s. I think the last Robin Williams movie I saw in the theater was, I don't know, Good Morning Vietnam, probably. Yeah, that was probably the last one. Because, you know, and I like that movie, but after that, you know, anything I saw on video, I don't know. I'm not part of that demographic, you guys. But this song is from the closing credits of that. And here's what I love about it. It is super Burt Bacharach-y. And I was always a fan of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, and even though Burt Bacharach music always seemed a little incongruous for a Western, somehow it worked perfectly, and I just love that sound. And actually, my buddy John Ward, who's nominated for a Grammy for an album he made, which I guess the category is historical album. He's a record collector, and he has this massive collection of vinyl of really rare stuff. And he's put together a number of mixes for me that were stuff from the 60s, a lot of which was from movies. And it has that Burt Bacharach feel. And again, this is sort of the amazing thing about Adam, is he's so well-versed in his musical history that he can create his own things that harken back to days gone by, that I don't know if a lot of composers have that kind of feel. You listen to a lot of composers, even the big ones, and their sound is all the same. But Adam can meld into the background. And really, and he mentioned this in his notes, and I agree with him, when you're talking about film and television, if you're noticing the music, then it's not really servicing the movie. or television show. If all you're noticing is the music, then you're distracting from it. So composers generally don't, you know, get radio play or whatever. But that's another reason I'm doing this, because I think this guy, in addition to being one of the nicest guys in the world and a really talented guy, he deserves to be heard on some level, even if it's only by the five people who listen to this podcast. So in any event, here's the Burt Bacharach. I just made that up. Burt Bacharach. Closing credits to the Robin Williams classic License to Wed. I just love that stuff. I love that sound. I've hung out with Adam a lot at our friend Steve's house. Well, his old house. He moved, but we used to hang out on his patio and listen to music. And I had a number of tunes on my iPod that I had gotten from the aforementioned John Ward, and he knew all of it. And and we bonded on digging that sound. So this next tune is here's the thing. Composers are just like actors and writers and all that stuff. You wind up producing a lot of stuff on spec, sort of as an audition. And that movie The Muppets that came out last year, which was written by Jason Segel and starred Jason Segel, and it was a pretty good Muppet movie, I thought, although honestly for me there was too much of Jason Segel and A.B. Adams and not enough of the Muppets in it. It was sort of weighted the wrong way, I think. I grew up in the Muppet movies where, you know, the people were the cameos and not the leads. And this, there's more of the humans than the Muppets. And also they were segregated in that movie. That was weird, you know, because in all the other Muppet movies, there's Muppets and there's people, and they don't really, you know, really make a big deal out of the difference. And in the new Muppet movie, there's like a distinct segregation. The Muppets are a freaky thing that is separate from regular society in that movie. And I don't know. I found that a little depressing. But still, I enjoyed the movie. I pretty much enjoy everything Muppets. So in any event, when they were making the movie, they put out feelers to composers to see, you know, who could write, you know, the songs before they actually hired whoever the heck it was who wrote all the songs. But there's a scene in the movie where Kermit the Frog is walking down a hallway and he's sad. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, everybody's so sad. It's so sad. They're washed up. Nobody cares about them. I mean, what the hell kind of plot is that for a children's movie? Ugh, this is depressing. And in any event, and again, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I liked it, but it's just that's an odd choice for a Muppet movie. It was depressing. You know, Kermit the Frog has given up. What? Kermit the Frog never gives up. He never gives up. Anyway, this song is called Something Happened, and Adam wrote it for the scene where Kermit the Frog is walking down the hallway, sadly singing to all the pictures on the walls, which represent his memories of his days as a Muppet. Adam is... not 100% about sharing this. He says it might be a little embarrassing because it's personally revealing, but he wanted to include it anyway because he is a huge Muppet fan, and he thought I'd get a kick out of it. And he was absolutely right. And the music that wound up in the movie versus this song, I don't know why they make the choices they make, but I personally would have hired Adam Blau. Here's Something Happened.
Fozzie left town when we fought about a joke. Something about two frogs who couldn't croak. Can't even remember the words that we spoke. Something happened. Gonzo went off to explore new pursuits. When we had some words about that trumpet he toots. Things got so big over little disputes. Something happened. The mayhem they argued, like all bands you know, as artistic started to grow. An animal got that reality show. Something happened. Piggy got bigger, I mean, as a star. When she didn't get top billing, she hopped in her car. She hasn't come back. Well, we said she'd go far. Something happened. One by one, we all just went off in our own direction, leaving all of the good times we had in our recollection. It's funny how when you're together, you seem to have the best connection. Something happens. It wasn't the fact that we didn't agree, but more that you doubted my great comedy. And my trumpet, well, that's an example. extension of me. It was less about billing and more about us.
And each time we'd argue, there was more of a fuss. We'd been through it all, not much left to discuss. Just what's happened.
After so many years of just leaving it be, maybe something's happened to me.
And it, you can hear it in this song. I mean, and it's funny too, because, you know, he's writing, all these songs are for different projects and different in nature. You know, you have a parody of an 80s TV theme song. You got a Robin Williams vehicle. You've got a Muppet song. And he finds a musical passion in all these. I mean, because, you know, in this situation, he, like me as an actor, really, he's a gun for hire. But the trick to being a gun for hire as an artist is to find, while respecting the project and not upstaging the project and respecting the tone, the style, the genre of the piece that he's writing, he finds a passionate place to go to. And it's funny too, because you can hear the passion in his composition, and he says that every time he writes one of these songs, he loves it. He loves everything he writes for 24 hours, and then after that, he thinks it sucks. But I think that maybe that's a honeymoon phase. You know, he writes this thing. He writes a thing passionately, obviously as a great craftsman as well, and pours himself into it and gets lost in it. And then that 24 hours is his honeymoon phase. You know, like when we get together with a person romantically, and for a while it's amazing and you're high, and then that ends. And then you've got to actually figure out a relationship. So maybe that's what's happening with his songs. I think he's a little hard on himself after the 24-hour period. Maybe he should go to a couples counseling, but with his music and not his wife. I don't know. Something to think about, Adam. Something to think about. Anyway, moving on. This next song is hysterical. And it's from a stage show that I saw, and my wife did it a couple times, and it was put together by Pam Ribbon and her friend Liz, who Pam hosted this Toncast. In fact, her Toncast episode of the Toncast has received the most hits out of any Toncast. She's got quite the internet presence, that one. But she did a show called the Anne Heche Monologues, where a group of actresses read from Anne Heche's book Call Me Crazy, and the show was called Call Us Crazy, the Anne Heche Monologues. And apparently Anne Heche showed up one night and was not pleased, but her book is kind of lends itself to this sort of meta comedy. It was a really funny show, and he wrote this song for it. In the song too, this is interesting. In this song, he plays I guess the theremin a little bit, and if you listen to the podcast that we did a long time ago, you will learn that he also composed the theremin music for an episode of Weeds that I was in that Stephen Falk wrote, and he actually taught me how to play the theremin. I did not play it well, but because the music was piped in, I could fake it quite nicely, it looked like I could actually play the theremin. So I spent a number of hours at his house basically memorizing the choreography of a theremin, because if you don't know what a theremin is, it's that instrument that makes those weird noises that they used to use in 60s sci-fi movies. That thing. And it's an electrical instrument, and it's got a hoop on one end and then a big antenna on the other. And you don't touch it. You play the air around it. The magnetic electric fields or whatever around the antennae. So you don't touch it. It's an incredibly hard instrument to play and make not sound awful. It is the new age version of the bagpipes. There's no such thing as mediocre bad bagpipe playing. It's either ethereal and uplifting and amazing, or it sounds like a bag of shit. And the same thing can be said about the theremin. Adam can play the theremin. Taught me how to pretend to play the theremin, and he got to play the theremin in this song from the Anne Heche show, Call Us Crazy. It is called I Love It, and it's sort of, you kind of got to imagine you're in Anne Heche's head here.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Completely so, I love it. I love and love and love it. I really, really love it. I love, 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 love it. I simply do adore it. I absolutely love it. You shouldn't have. I love it. And have I said I love it? It's wonderful. I love it. I love, 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 love it. How could I so but love it? You knew that I would love it. I love, 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 love. You have been thinking, dear. I hate, 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 hate it. I'm kidding you. I love it. I absolutely love it. I had you there. I love it. You were so scared. I love it. I know you know I love it. I love, 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 love it. Oh, silly. I adore it. I absolutely love it. Almost as much as I love you.
Okay, now this next one is particularly interesting, and I didn't even know about this shit until I asked Adam to send me these tunes. But this next one's called Timing, and it was written for a musical TV show that never got produced that was written by my buddy Steve Falk, who also hosted this podcast. He was one of the first hosts. And as I said, he wrote that episode of Weeds that Adam and I worked together on. And, this is very funny. And Steve Falk wrote the lyrics and Adam did the music and they worked together. And that would have been a fun session to sit in on and watch. Wish I'd been there, but I do get to hear the song. And so do you. Timing.
Oh fuck, I'm done. Even my roommates know she's not the one for me. She watches CSI Miami. But not ironically, she watches it for the excitement value. Anyway. Been just 2 months since she bailed. But she's already out there getting nailed by some art school perv, already getting on her swerve. I'm behind the curve. Oh, my fucking timing. I'm always three or four beats out of sync. If love's the holy grail, my heart's a giant fail. My whole damn life, I need to rethink. 'Cause as for falling in and out of love, my timing stinks.
I drift around in other people's orbits. Got things to do, but they all just ignore it. Agreeable to a disgusting fault. My needs, what needs, they're all just secondary. Do this, do that for me, Iris, I am not your dairy cow. Pull your own plow. Boys, they're fucking timing. They want me when and where that they see fit. I'd rather be alone. I'm turning into stone. You can't rent my heart. You can just house it. It's too late, man. I'm going it alone. Your timing, shit.
No,
I am still young.
Move,
I wear no
ring.
Leave my own shoes and my own bed. Listen, all you fuckers.
Find
you don't own me.
No,
my time's
girl,
my own. Maybe I'll go out tonight and give some stranger head. Oh, this fucking timing. It's time I live for me with no debate. We only have one time to get this right. Might
be too late.
All right. Now, we've had our fun. It's time to get into the sad stuff. So Adam, if you meet him, he's super polite and pleasant and respectful, and he's always got a smile, and he always laughs at your jokes, even if they're not very good. And, you know, I mean, he's a brutally nice guy. And, you know, normally people who are that incredibly nice, I don't trust at all, but he's so genuine. His sweetness is disarming. I gotta say, he's a very disarming fella. And this song is a sad one. So obviously, even though he's really nice, there's sadness. He's got sadness. All of us do. All of us do. And he gifted his musical sadness to this Winona Ryder indie picture called The Last Word, which I never heard of until now. But apparently it was about Wes Bentley plays a guy who writes suicide notes for people. That seems like a strange business to get into, but, you know, it's a recession. It's hard to find work. I'll write some suicide notes, you guys. Let me know if you want me to write your suicide note. I'll charge, well, you know, it's a big deal. So I'm going to say 10 grand. 10 grand per suicide note. Let me know if you want me to do that. But anyway, it's this is very pretty music, and certainly melancholy. It's called Nocturne. And apparently he says that a lot of people really like it. But he as a composer, he's never sure if they actually like the song or they like it because it was in a movie that moved them. And he points out, you know, the scores to things like Jaws and E.T. and Star Wars. And is it the music you really like or the movie that came with it? Because the movie was great. So that's sort of interesting. I would say in the cases of those movies, that's very possible. But one of my favorite scores of all time is Daft Punk's score for Tron Legacy. And Tron Legacy, a very mediocre picture. But damn, that score elevated the hell out of that movie. I still want to watch that movie all the time. One, because it's rated PG and I can watch it with my kid. And two, because the music's awesome and I love it. So here is Adam's sad song, Nocturne. I hope you're not too sad. I'm going to try and lift your spirits with this next one. It is called Tell Me What You Love About Me, which sounds like the title sounds like it could be hysterical. It sounds like the kind of song that I would write for this show because I want people to tell me how much they love me and what precisely they love about me because I'm super lovable and gorgeous. Anyway, this is actually not a jokey song. It's a song for that Adam wrote for Mr. Rogers' Everyday Grooves, which is songs for little kids. And I've had a lot of experience over the last 7 years with children's music, and a lot of it is just awful. It really is awful. But then there was this surge of pop artists like Bare Naked Ladies and They Might Be Giants and Jack Johnson, who did a bunch of kids' albums that I really like listening to. This is a kid's song that I really like listening to. So check it out. And if you like it, you know, maybe you can find the album and buy it. I mean, if you don't have kids, don't, because people think you're weird. But if you have kids, it's good stuff that you can listen to that kids will love as well. Here's Tell Me What You Love About Me.
Tell me what you love about me, and I'll tell you what I love about you. All the things that make us smile, make us laugh a little while. Won't you tell me what you love about me? Tell me every single day, because I love to hear it when you say all the things you love about me, how you couldn't do without me. Tell me what you love about me. Tell each other something that makes us feel glad about spending time together. Maybe something that we've said or done, or how we laugh when we have fun. How you are my favorite.
Yeah, I like that song. Kind of, you know, good kids' music, you know, it makes you happy. You know what I mean? It's jaunty, full of energy, can dance to it. Kid will jump around the living room, whatnot. You know what I'm saying? That's what kids' music's all about. And he sent another song, and I'm super glad he sent this. I love it. His wife, Rebecca, wrote the lyrics to this song, and he did the music, and they recorded it just a few days before their baby boy was born. And a lot of people don't collaborate well with their spouses. I actually do. When my wife and I work together, she's not an egocentric actress, so we don't have any trouble when we work together. It goes quite nicely. When you're sitting and writing something with somebody else, that's a totally different ball of wax than when you're, you know, hiring someone that you love as an actor. So it could be a dicey affair. Maybe it was, I don't know. But this is a great song, and it's a super touching song, and I'm really glad they did it. And what an awesome time to record a song a few days before having a baby. That's kind of special, right? Anyway, listen to this tune.
To write a letter, to hear a voice, to make a call, takes a time that no one has anymore. Plan a trip, an hour, a moment, a laugh, a smile, captured on film and stories. Memories fade after a while. My heart has four dimensions, north, south, and east and west. It turns in all directions, spinning love and never finding rest. Greet the day, hope for a minute, turn around, expect to see those who love, who understand. Only you and only me. Life is here, we move on. Scenery changes, full of laughter, smiles and tears. Reach across, reach through the pages. I plan a trip, an hour, a moment, a laugh, a smile, captured on film and stories. Memories fade after a while. My heart has four seasons, summer, winter, spring and fall. It moves every reason, spinning love I'm sending to you all. Greet the day, hope for a minute, turn around, expect to see those who love, who understand. Only you and only me. Time and space, time looking and back space, and change and holding tight, cracking tight, up, wandering in and loss and help in life, and life begins again. My heart has four dimensions, north, south, and east and west. It turns in all directions, spinning love and never finding rest. Greet the day, hope for a minute, turn around, expect to see those who love, who understand. Only you and only me. Thank you.
That's only you and only me. It's touching, right? Well, I don't, you know, I really don't want to end. We've gotten very touching and sweet. And I don't know if that's good for this podcast, because this podcast is filled with sarcasm and aggravation and embitterment-ness and things of that nature. You know, snarky, the kind of shit Marc Maron says he hates. Although that aggravates me, because he's super snarky. He's a snarky guy, but he hates people who are snarky. Now that he's famous, he's like, if people are snarky about him, he gets mad. But he used to be snarky. Anyway, a little bit of self-hatred happening there, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. But I'm gonna round out these wonderful samples of the masterful Adam Blau's music with this early shot at a song for Fuzz Track City, which is the main song of the movie. This is not what it wound up being, but it's a fun listen. So here you go. There it is. I like that. I like rock. And, you know, it wasn't as sad as that Nocturne song. So hopefully, you know, we've brought you on an emotional roller coaster through Adam Blau's music. I'd like to thank Adam for getting me all these tunes. I'd like to thank Adam for always being there. As a buddy and a collaborator, and he's amazing. Everyone should be as lucky as my circle to have an Adam Blau. We should have an Adam Blau, and obviously not everyone can have an Adam Blau, because there's only one Adam Blau, and maybe I should start a line of Adam Blau dolls, so people can at least pretend they have an Adam Blau. I don't know. Seems like a good idea. Anyway, Adam Blau, fantastic man, fantastic composer. I think I've made that clear. And if there's any doubt in your mind at this point about how amazing his music is, let me refresh your memory with this little ditty.